tonight, I'd like us to turn to Psalm 27 and verse 9. Psalm 27 and verse 9, but we'll read the whole of the chapter before we come to verse 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. But tonight let's turn to verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The congregation, the apostle wrote in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We are to seek to live with much contentment. And that implies that we are to trust in the Lord. Now, whilst we seek to live with much contentment, we can take comfort, as we note there in Hebrews 13 verse 5, that the Lord will never leave us, nor forsake us. And the thought of that can bring further contentment, can it not? We're to be content, we're to trust the Lord, and we're to take comfort he will never leave us nor forsake us. We can rest in his enduring favour towards us. Are you trusting the Lord at this present time? Now it appears that as we come to this psalm, David was still facing difficulty from his enemies, though we know not the occasion when he penned this psalm. Just turn with me to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And notice verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. There's difficulty still for the psalmist, when he penned these words, he took great comfort that the Lord was his light and his salvation, yet he was still facing difficulty. Now, in the first part of the psalm, David sets forth his confidence he had in the Lord. That's from verse 1 through to verse 3. And we just notice that there. Just note verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You see, he's confident. And just pause there. Many a soldier in times past would read these words before he went off to battle. Well, we see his confidence in the first three verses. And then secondly, we notice his desire and love for the house of God and communion with the Lord. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We see there his desire, his love for the house, to enjoy fellowship. And just note those words, to behold the beauty of the Lord. We have not a holy building today. We meet in the gatherings of the saints, and the Lord has promised to be there. But still it is true, we come to inquire, and we come to behold the beauty of the Lord. And that implies that we're to be heavenly minded in worship. We come prepared to meet with the Lord. We think of him. Psalm 65, praise waiteth for thee in Zion. That's why, and it's a good thing we do here, we sit down quietly and we just prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord, because we're coming to admire his beauty. Are we not? The beauty of the Lord. And just think of the beauty of the Lord. It speaks of so much, doesn't it? His pureness. Then we can think of his excellencies. How he's so kind to us, so loving, so compassionate. We can think of our Saviour, who is altogether lovely. We come to behold the beauty of the Lord. Yes, it's good. We say hello. And we ask each other of our welfare, as Jethro did to Moses. But all our thought is to come to worship the Lord, to be ready to worship him. Well, we note the psalmist, his desire and love for the house of God and communion with God, verses 4 through to verse 6. And then from verse 7 through to verse 12, the third part, we have his earnest prayer that God would show favour, would make himself known, help and deliver. And then finally, in the final part of the psalm, we have his own testimony to encourage others. Notice verse 13 and verse 14. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As we've seen before, he spake to himself first. He encouraged himself first to wait on the Lord. But then he also encouraged others to do so. And we end this psalm with this encouragement. We are to wait on the Lord. We're not to look to ourselves. It's easy to do so, isn't it? But let's not look to ourselves. Let's wait on the Lord. And you notice the promise. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Or may say, but I seem to know such weakness day by day. Well, you keep waiting, and as you do, bring this promise back to the Lord and take comfort. He will fulfill, he will strengthen thine heart. Well, the psalmist ends with his own testimony, verse 13, an encouragement to others. Well, tonight we come to consider these words in verse 9, which is part of his earnest prayer for God's favour, presence, help, and deliverance. Well, let's come to verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Let's consider first of all a heart's desire for God's favour. A heart's desire for God's favour. Secondly, a contemplation of God's help. A contemplation of God's help. And then thirdly, a true appreciation of God's favour. A heart's desire for God's favour, a contemplation of God's help, and thirdly, a true appreciation of God's presence, God's presence. Well, let's consider first of all then a heart's desire for God's favour. Come and meet to verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Now he is aware of the favour of God, but notice prayer here. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. He so desired each and every day the smile of God rather than the frown. Hide not thy face far from me. He desired the appearance of God's face in favour or mercy rather than the hiding of God's face, which implies his anger or wrath. Now turn with me to Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. We have here, first of all, in Psalm 67, verse 1, the word merciful. And the word speaks of to show pity, but it's more there, to show favour, to bend in kindness. God be merciful, show pity to us. Bend in kindness, that speaks of great condescension, doesn't it? For the Lord to bend in kindness. We think of a father bending down to listen and to help a little child. We're praying that the Heavenly Father would bend in kindness, would so meet us where we are. We're so small, he is so great. Bend in kindness, Lord. Show favour. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. We've already thought of the favour of the Lord in that verse, but it goes further, cause his face to shine upon us. That's what we desire. We're thankful for the sun when it appears. It's not easy when it's cloudy. However, we do take comfort. The sun is always shining, but all for a manifestation, a sight of it. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Sometimes we might sense God's fatherly anger. There are times when he is angry with us. We can't deny that as we come to the scripture. Yes, there is always his grace, always his mercy and his love, but there are times when he, in a fatherly way, is angry with us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He so loves us, yet there is his fatherly anger, and so he deals with us as children. What a blessing. He deals with us as children. And it's not judicial anger, but fatherly anger. There are times. There's a hiding of the face of God to some measure. Psalm 13, verse 1, we're going to sing this in a moment. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? You see there, the psalmist speaking, a believer. Where's the Lord? He's going through some difficulty. Where is the Lord? And then he's so humble, he feels the sin. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long? And there are times when we might say to the Lord, how long? As a child, my father did not always smile at me. There were times when he was cross and justly so. He loved me still, but there were times when he was cross. And I could tell it. I could tell it on his face that he wasn't happy. I'd done something wrong. When I come to a point when I was humble and I said sorry, I went back to my father and I said sorry to him, and there was love on his face, seen. Now there always was love, but it was seen, and there was his smile, the returning smile. And that's what we long for, isn't it, at times, the returning smile of the Lord. We're humble enough to recognise there is the hiding of God's face to some measure, not total. He always has such a great heart of favour towards us, but there is fatherly anger. And the psalmist here prays, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. We long for the smile of the face of God. Or we could say we long to know more of his grace, because at times we may not sense it and we feel his hand upon us, as we see in Psalm 32. Spurgeon writes there of Psalm 32, such words, it's helpful, comforting when we feel his hand lifting us up, but not when his hand is on us. And there are times when the hand of God is on us in our lives. And that's why we pray. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Hide it not. Now just pause. We need to be so careful in this subject, as we need to be careful with the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Sometimes we don't sense the Lord's nearness, and then it's not to do with some particular sin. We need to be so careful there. Maybe we're going through such a difficult time and we're just struggling. We're finding it hard and we feel, where is the smile of the Lord in my life? But this is different here. We need to recognise there are times when there is, to some measure, the hiding of the face of God. We, like the psalmist, we long to know more of his smile, the face of his favour. Yes, there's always grace towards us, but oh, at such times to know more of it, to know more of his love and mercy. Do not we greatly desire the favour of God in our lives? Smile on me, we say. Forgive me my sins where there is the need. Comfort my heart and support me in thy favour. Let there be a heart-warming and soul-lifting display of God's favour. Hide not thy face far from me. Oh, I so desire more of that warming within my soul as I feel, as it were, the smile of God, the face of God shining upon me. More grace, Lord. That's another thing we could consider here. More grace, Lord. Hide not thy face far from me. That's what we long for, isn't it? Let's just consider when we've done something wrong and we're convicted. Hide not thy face far from me. Show me fatherly forgiveness. Show me thy favour. Oh, may I know the light of thy countenance upon me. We don't want the hiding, do we, any longer? We desire more of the favour of God, the display of his favour. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. And why do we make such a prayer further? Because we value God's favour, don't we? We do value God's grace. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. By the grace of God, we're thankful, aren't we, for electing grace, saving grace. As we see in Ephesians chapter 2, we want to know more grace. We've been thankful for supporting grace in our lives. Strengthening grace. The Apostle Paul was aware of that. He asked that the thorn in the flesh would be removed three times. My grace is sufficient, and we've been so thankful for that. Oh, what grace he has shown thus far. More grace, Lord. More grace, Lord. We've got nothing to boast of, have we? Where we are in our lives is because of the favour of God that is shone upon our souls. Lord John Newton wrote, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. What a show of the favour of God. What a display of his grace on his face. Amazing grace. We desire more of it, don't we? More grace, Lord. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. We need more grace each and every day. We cannot take one step without the grace of God. We need God's grace when we come to crossroads in our lives. We need God's grace when we come to crossroads in the church. We need God's grace when we come to trial and affliction. We need His supporting grace. Remember those words in Psalm 94, verse 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. Thy mercy can be translated as mercy, pity, but also favour. Thy mercy. I needed thy mercy and thou didst support me, and it was all of grace. Thy mercy, thy favour, O Lord, held me up, held up by the favour of God, in affliction, in trial. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? My foot slippeth. And that's our testimony so often. But grace comes and holds us up. We value the grace of God. That's why we pray such a prayer at times. When we failed against the Lord, when we sinned against Him, we pray, Lord, more grace. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Lord, show thy face of favour, because we value God's grace, do we not? Well, let's consider secondly, a contemplation of God's help. A contemplation of God's help. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, thou hast been my help. As he makes this prayer for more grace, favour, he reflects upon the help God has given thus far. And he's encouraged to pray, isn't he? For grace, for mercy, for forgiveness, because he's been helped in times past. And it's often an encouragement, isn't it, when we come to a certain situation, we look back and we consider the way the Lord has helped us thus far, in difficulties, in trial. A contemplation of God's help. It gives us a reason to pray, doesn't it? But further, a reason to hope. Thou hast helped me in times past. Thou art a covenant God, and I have hope for the future. Thou hast been my help. Listen to Spurgeon. A prayer for the future. Based on evidence from the past. If the Lord had meant to leave us, why did he begin with us? Look back and consider what the Lord has done and reason this before the Lord. Just pause tonight. Consider what the Lord has done in your life. What grace he has shown, such help he has given. He's not forsaken you. We've got good cause, haven't we, to pray for more grace because of the help of the Lord. Consider what help you were given in salvation. Psalm 89 verse 19, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Precious words, aren't they? Help upon one that is mighty. What's the cross-reference there? Thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Psalm 89 verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. The Father laying help on the Mighty One, whose name is Wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we've been helped in the gospel, helped in salvation. The help we needed was laid on Christ in eternity, and in time he came on such a mission of mercy to help us. And what help we have known in our lives, in effectual calling. Help laid on one that is mighty. Listen to Spurgeon again. In a far fuller sense, the Lord Jesus is essentially and immeasurably mighty, and on him the salvation of his people rests by divine appointment, while his success is secured by divine strength being engaged to be with him. Let us lay our faith where God hath laid our help. And so we look to him. Our help, the needed in our lives, was laid on him. Let's look to him. Will you consider how you've been blessed in times past in the gospel? Consider how you've been helped in affliction in times past. Psalm 116 verse 6, the Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. I was brought low. And the believer experiences such times. All believers do. Times when we're brought low. There's some who have clinical depression or something else, so they're brought so low. If the Lord will help, but the testimony of us all, there are the low times, aren't there? In affliction. When we find it hard to look up, we're brought low. Yes, we're seeking to praise the Lord, but we know sorrow in our heart day by day. Psalm 13, we're brought low. And it's not easy, is it, when we're brought low with a heavy heart? The mind is heavy. Our Lord's heart was heavy. I've said this often in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he remembers he is touched. I was brought low. And we can all say that, can't we? We look back in certain situations we faced and we've been brought low. But there in that low place, the hand of God reached us. He helped me. And just pause, that's an encouragement, is it not, in turn? We may find ourselves in such a low place, but that low place is not beyond the reach of God. He helped me. I was brought low, so low. I was struggling even to pray, even to read the word, but his hand helped me. We can raise an Ebenezer, can we not, as we think of the past? Hitherto have the Lord helped us. But then we look to the future, hitherto. Not just about looking to the past, we look to the future. As the Lord has helped us in times past, we believe he will help us. I was saying to someone earlier, oh, to sense more what we believe. Do you understand that? We do believe the Lord will help us. Oh, to sense it more. But sometimes when we don't feel it, we simply look to the Lord. Lord, thou hast said it in the word. Though I'm struggling and I don't sense it, I believe it. We can raise our Ebenezer. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. And the psalmist here, he looks back as he looks to the future. In this verse, oh, plead scripture to the Lord that he has promised to help you. And be encouraged, he wills. Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. You bring that verse to the Lord. Lord, thou dost say to me, fear not, and thou dost promise, help. Lord, calm my fears, and help me, Lord. Bring the promise, bring the promise to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm speaking with care before thee. I'm speaking with reverence. Please remember what thou hast promised to do for me. Fear not, I will help thee. We look back and we consider the help we have known and we plead for fresh help and the smile of God's face. What a blessing it is, isn't it? We can say the Lord has helped us. We've all been through difficulties in our lives. The Lord has helped us. We've known challenges in the church. The Lord has helped us. We'll speak of it before the Lord. This is what the psalmist does. Thou hast been my help. Tell him. He knows, but you tell him. He likes to hear you telling him of what he already knows. It's recognizing his help, isn't it? A contemplation of God's help. Just pause and consider the way the Lord has helped you. But thirdly and finally, a true appreciation of God's presence. A true appreciation of God's presence. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now just notice how it all flows together here in this prayer. He desires God's favour, and as he earnestly prays, he contemplates God's help. And he makes known his appreciation at the end of this verse, that is, of God's presence. Leave me not. Now the Lord will never totally leave his people. But as we see in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, Sometimes it can just be a little distance. That's so true, isn't it? We can feel the distance at times. Now, I'll say this carefully again. You mustn't conclude when you're struggling in prayer that you've done something wrong, and that's why. No, it may be the situation you're in. He remembers we are dust. He knows our frame, doesn't he? And we are so weak. We so need the Lord in prayer, do we not? Be careful when you come to this subject. Yet we see in the Song of Solomon, the Lord at times does withdraw to a little distance. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord never really forsakes, but at times it seems like it a little. And he can withdraw his sensible presence to a measure. Psalm 71 verse 10, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. See the psalmist, he sends a little distance. Be not far from me. He's with us, but we do make the plea, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Quickly, Lord. Now it's right, we say, thy will be done. But it's not wrong to say, make haste, O Lord. Psalm 14, you look at Psalm 14, 9 of Hebrews chapter 10, you see the Lord Jesus Christ there, and he makes such a plea, make haste. It's not wrong to say that to the Lord. Be not far from me, O my God, make haste for my help. Now we know help arrives at God's perfect time. It always is. But that doesn't mean to say we can't make this plea, as the psalmist did. Make haste for my help. I need thee. Come close to me, Lord. I value thy presence. I want to sense it. In Jeremiah 14, verse 8, oh, the hope of Israel, the saviour thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. You see, they're the people of God. Where's the Lord? They knew that the Lord was there, but where is he? Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. You see there the people of God, they value the presence of God. Yet where is the Lord? And we value the presence of God, but at times we say, where is the Lord? Leave me not. What do we read in verse 9? Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. O Lord, make thyself so known to me. May I know thy favour and thy grace. Stay near to me, Lord. Don't withdraw even a little. Stay near to me. Song of Solomon 5, the humbling words. My beloved hath withdrawn himself. And that's not easy, is it? When we realise we've done something wrong, and the Lord is just a little withdrawn, not totally, we never do that, but just a little. My beloved hath withdrawn himself. Why does he do that? Well, first of all, because he loves you. And in his love, he wants to teach you to value his presence more, and to give him time. I've said this before, a number of years ago, I hadn't read the Bible as I should have done prayerfully one day, and these words came home very quickly after. The Lord coming for a time of fellowship, as we considered last Lord's evening. I sleep, I've put off my coat. How should I put it on? I haven't got time for thee, Lord Jesus. And that's what he does at times. He withdraws a little, just to, in his love, teach us. And secondly, it's for our good. We come to a point, Lord, I so desire thee today, because we value his presence. Leave me not. Don't leave me, Lord. I so need thee. I so value thy presence. I'm helped when I'm aware of it. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Notice verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There's his confidence as he makes the plea in verse 9. Don't forsake me, father and mother might, but thou hast promised to be near to me. So Lord, come near. Come near, make thyself known. You know, a child may be walking along with their parents and they're looking down. Suddenly the father picks up the child and the child's looking at the face of the father and they're aware. Sometimes we're walking along next to one, we don't recognize they're there, but they are there. Sometimes we don't recognize the Lord is there, but he is. But there's times when he comes and he picks us up, as it were, and he makes us aware. That's what we long to know more. Leave me not, Lord. Leave me not at this present time in my life. Leave me not in this present trial. I so need thy nearness. I so need to know thy favour and be assured of thy help. Appreciation of the presence of God. And when we're in this frame of mind, we appreciate the Lord's presence. We say, don't leave me, Lord. Don't leave me. Stay by my side. Well, we can take comfort in those words in Hebrews 13, verse 5. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never totally leave us nor forsake us. That's the comfort, isn't it? But you pray, leave me not. Show to him you value his presence, because we do, don't we? How can we face the future without the Lord? How could we face the future without his help or his favour? We value his presence, we value his help, and we value his favour. So we make this earnest prayer. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Last few weeks, we've had so much rain, haven't we? It's been so dark at times. I was in a certain place yesterday and I saw the street light come on. I thought, that's far too early, but it's the census today, isn't it? It's been so dark, it's been so wet, so cloudy, so gloomy. This afternoon in Downman, as I was doing a garden, I just felt the sun upon my face. There's times when it seems so dark, so gloomy, but there comes the time when we feel the face, we feel the warmth of the Sun of Righteousness upon our face. He was there, but now we're so aware that he is there. May the Lord help us, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we come to thee, and we earnestly do pray for thy help and thy favour. Lord, we've experienced those times when there has been a little hiding of thy face, and it's not easy, O Lord. We make that look known to thee. More grace, Lord, we pray, we need it. Lord, may we not come to a day when we don't pray such a prayer, because we don't think we really need it. Oh Lord, more grace. We look back, how thou hast helped us in the gospel, how thou hast helped us in affliction, how thou hast helped us when we were brought low. Oh Lord, we thank thee for this, and Lord, that encourages us to pray the way thou hast helped us, and thou wilt help us. Lord, we do value thy presence. Make us value it more. May we not become cold in this subject. Oh, we value thee. We value thy presence. Oh, make us more aware of thyself, Lord. We know that thou art there, but make thyself aware. Lord, we would make that plea. Leave us not, Lord. Leave us not as a congregation. Leave us not as individuals. Leave us not when we're low and cast down. Leave us not when we're perplexed or anxious. Draw near and make thyself known. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. We turn to our second praise, Psalm 13, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 13, verses 1 to 8. How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? Shall it forever be? Oh, how long shall it be that thou wilt hide thy face from me? You can see here the testament of the psalmist as a believer. Some of the old commentators point us to a precious truth here, that we see in this psalm one who was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And just note those words. How long take counsel in my soul, still sad in heart shall I. So long he knew sorrow. Sometimes we know sorrow. We know this joy, and we seek to praise the Lord, but there still can be the sorrow day after day. Psalm 13 was sung to the tune, Days of Paris.
How long will
me.